You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. Negativity bias. It's a deeply rooted part of human psychology, and it makes us focus more on negative experiences than positive ones. And this bias affects our thoughts, it affects our emotions and actions, and it causes us to see situations pessimistically, remember those negative experiences more clearly than the positive ones. And we ignore the good in our lives. Constantly focusing on negative events can really distort our perception, and it creates a cycle of pessimism and stress that harms our overall well-being. This bias can also combine with a kind of hyper-focused fixation on things, where we intensely focus on one negative aspect and we completely lose sight of the bigger picture. My name's Amanda Nelson. This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. And today on my show, we're looking at negativity bias. So focusing on negative thoughts longer term will begin to distort your energy field. Your energy fields respond and they form the filters and the templates that affect all aspects of your incarnation experience here on the planet. So nobody wants our energy fields to be distorted so that they will focus on the negative. So to prevent this from happening, it's important to be able to recognize the negative thoughts, catch them early, flip them to something more hopeful and positive instead. Hope and positivity then springboard you out of the negative bias, and then your energy field, filters and templates, they will start to reformat so that they're more positive, right? Create more of those hopeful, positive things in your incarnation. Negativity bias is all around us at the moment, and it comes, I think, ultimately from deep within human evolution. It used to be a survival mechanism. I mean, it is to a certain degree already, but I think it's overtaken that. Our ancestors, they needed to quickly recognize and respond to true, real, present dangers. Is there a predator around? And if so, how to hide so that they wouldn't be seen? Or what if they had to take steps so that they could survive through harsher seasons that they knew were coming? You know, those humans were able to be much more aware of threats. They were much more likely to survive. So negativity bias for them was an important means of survival. It was a skill of sorts, a skill of many though. They were able to develop a really keen awareness of how to survive. And when they were able to do that, they were more likely to. So you're sitting here listening to this show purely because of the negative bias, the negativity bias of your ancestors. You know, their focus on survival enabled all of us, each one of us, to actually be here today. So negativity bias in and of itself is not necessarily bad. I don't think, though, that we face similar dangers as our ancestors did. But the bias is still there. Today it makes us focus too much, I think, on negative events, seeking out negative experiences in our lives, looking for negativity in relationships that we have, instead of looking to find sort of perspective and balance on things. Yes, that negativity is part of those things, but also there could well be lots of positivity there too. So how many times a day do you find yourself seeking out peace and satisfaction, focusing on the good rather than on the copious amounts of upset and frustration that overwhelm your senses if you let them? So negativity bias, of course, it still has some benefits today. It helps us to avoid risks and learn from mistakes, or at least that's hopefully what you do. Being careful when you cross a busy road, right? Be more cautious if you're walking on an icy surface. Wear gloves, oven gloves, when you remove a hot metal tray from an oven that's been on. Don't swim in the sea when there are warning flags flying nearby. Eat food that is fresh. Don't cut yourself when using a sharp knife. Wrap up warm if it's likely to be cold outside. You know, being aware of the potential dangers, yeah, it leads to more sensible decision making and ultimately our survival. But not everything requires negativity bias. And that's partly what this show is about today. I'm hoping that by shining a light on negativity bias, you might start to spot it in your life and then take a step back from it and say, is my survival truly dependent upon this thing? Or is it something that I can shift into observation of, as opposed to feeling it's something that's very personal, very present, and very dangerous to me in this moment? Negativity bias does have benefits, but the bias can begin to overshadow really positive experiences and distort your view of reality, constantly focusing on things that make you feel criticized or fear failure or comparison or lack. You know, plugging into the fear mongering and the inflammation that that can cause. You know, there's plenty of it in the media, there's plenty of it in the food, big pharma, big government, big finance, and the like. It's all going to lead to feelings of stress, anxiety, and even depression if you don't view it with a balanced, objective 360 degree perspective. So let's test this then. So I'm going to say you received 10 compliments for something you did. But then you also have one comment, let's say, that is a criticism. If negativity bias has captured you in some way, shape or form, you're going to get caught up in that single criticism, letting it overshadow the positive feedback that you've just got, those positive comments that you've received. Is this you? Is this what you do? Focusing on the negative will really harm self-esteem. It makes us question ourselves all the time, and it creates this sense of inadequacy, low self-worth, lack, vulnerability, rejection. It's all about survival, though, negativity bias. And once it's activated, ultimately, if you follow the negativity bias and what you're fixating upon, what you're focusing upon, ultimately, it will lead to a question of will you or won't you survive? So you fixate on the negative as its defensive survival response, but it may not be the response that's appropriate for every single instance that's presented to you. So when you fixate that intense focusing on especially a single aspect of a situation to the exclusion of all other important details that are contributing, that's a narrowing. It's a narrowing of a focus, and it prevents you from seeing the bigger picture. You end up obsessing over a minor mistake or something you said that you feel you shouldn't have, or perhaps you, it was okay that you said it, but you're just uncertain. You know, there's like a social anxiety that's crept in there, fixating on that single negative aspect and ignoring all the lovely, encouraging stuff that is there too. And it becomes a vicious cycle. It can create a self-perpetuating loop of negative thinking and hyper-focused fixation. And the loop, it makes you feel magnified, exposed to the point where everything seems so much significant, so much more significant and insurmountable than it actually is. And your survival is threatened because of that. Now, if you were able to find that more balanced perspective, then you'd be able to problem solve. You'd be able to assess whether or not you did make a mistake or not, assess true risk, assess people's responses truthfully, know whether this was a life and death situation or not. So while negativity bias may have originally evolved as a survival mechanism, and don't get me wrong, there will still be moments in your life where you do need to make survival choices. In modern context, though, it often leads to something that I observe that feels a lot closer to self-sabotage. So when faced with making choices, individuals that are captive, held captive by this strong negativity bias, they're more likely to focus on all the potential risks and all the negative outcomes rather than including or actually focusing just equally or even more on the positive benefits, the opportunities that are presenting. So this sabotaging behaviour, it makes you overly cautious. It creates very conservative, closed-off decisions. And that then may prevent you from taking advantage of an opportunity to try new things as they present themselves, as they gift themselves to you. You focus on the negatives, and that paralyzes decision making. You say no before you even consider saying yes. And that can mean you really miss out on the good stuff. Negativity bias also can come into your relationships. So by focusing on the negative aspects of the people around you, you may overlook all the positive qualities that your partner, your kids, your family members, your friends, your work colleagues, your bosses, the businesses, the banks, the government, the food system, all of it. You may ignore what is good, what can be found that is good, what needs to be encouraged and amplified and commended. Instead, we end up criticizing and saying how dissatisfied we are and creating unnecessary conflict in how we feel and potentially how we feel around others. And we dwell on mistakes, ours and theirs, and of flaws, ours and theirs. And we ignore all the positive aspects of a relationship that we can have. And instead, we allow our relationships to be eroded. And it weakens our emotional bonds. And if there's one thing I know, we need connection. It's part of the human condition. We need those bonds. We need strong, energetic bonds between us and those people around us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good. Focusing on negative thoughts longer term will begin to distort your energy field. It begins to reform itself, you see, to bring you more evidence of what those negative biases are telling you. Your energy fields form the filters and templates that affect all aspects of your incarnation experience here on the planet. Nobody wants them constructing what we don't want. To prevent this from happening, it's important to recognize the negative thoughts, catch them early, and flip them to something more hopeful and positive. Hope and positivity then springboard you out of the negative bias, and then your energy filters and templates will reformat your energy fields to create those hopeful and positive things. Negativity bias can also severely impact your self-esteem and confidence if you constantly dwell on personal failures and ignore your successes. Eventually, this creates a distorted self-image. You begin to question your own ability, and it reduces your confidence to the point where you become fearful of the greatness that may actually be inside of you, waiting to show itself. I remember the day that the exam results came out. This is back when I was at secondary school. I did spectacularly badly the first time I took my exams when I was 15. I knew I'd be okay though. And it was. I got them all second time around. But back when I failed all of them, no one else thought I would be okay. I was called to the headmistress's office to plan how to dig myself out of the pit I'd fallen into. My parents were so angry with me, they didn't even come to the school to be at that meeting. Well, there was another girl from my year also waiting to see the headmistress, and she was in floods of tears, and her mother was next to her, looking really angry, actually. And I looked at this girl, and with genuine concern, I asked her if she was okay. And I was completely taken aback by her answer. She had taken 9 exams, just like I had, and she had managed to pass all 9 exams. She'd managed to pass 8 of them with A star grades, but one of them she had passed with a B. She was fixated on that B, and her mother was fixated on the B grade as well. And even back then, after I'd failed all my exams, I felt that perhaps they had rather bizarrely got some kind of warped perspective on the situation. Everybody was telling me that, in effect, my future was done and dusted. It was in a dumpster. And yet here was this other girl who was in floods of tears with a furious mother, because even though she had passed all of her exams at exceptionally good grades, for some reason they were focusing negatively on the fact that she didn't get 9 A stars. She got 8 A stars and a B. Yes, I get it. 9 A's or A stars, whatever it was that she was going for, meant a great deal to her. I get that. But the way they were reacting was as if the sky was completely imploding. And I wonder how she would have felt if she was clutching the 7 out of 9 spectacular fails that I had achieved. I was held back, but I certainly wasn't stopped. I wasn't going to let a little thing like this stop me. And yet her B grade, that single B grade, had seemingly taken her entire family down. It's worth considering. If I'd been her mum, I'd have been celebrating the wins and then making plans as a secondary measure to flip the losses into more positives. I wouldn't have been angry with my child for that. I suppose not all parents feel the way I do, just my opinion. You do you. I do know of people that have such an acute sense of this negativity bias that the fear of potential failure can actually even prevent them from starting or completing even a simple task, the negativity bias creates like an avoidance cycle. It's like stress and guilt, and it reinforces the negative perceptions about yourself, and it increases the likelihood of procrastination and avoidance in the future, and so it continues on. I didn't really ever have that. I think a lot of people thought that I wasn't really tapping into the reality of some of the situations that I found myself in. And I get it. But the way I always saw it was that although they were speaking the truth to me about, for example, failing all of these exams, that didn't really mean an end of my life as they were implying. It just meant that a failure I had had needed to be overcome. I needed to do something differently in order to be able to then pass those exams. And I suppose I was also realistic enough to realise that you're actually allowed to take those exams three times. I'd only failed the first time. I must have driven people absolutely mad, actually, thinking about it now. They may, with their own negativity bias, have thought that I was really quite delusional, but I thought I was quite sensible. I was looking at it from lots of different points of view. Yeah, I suppose I could fail those exams three times, but that wouldn't be the end of my life as I knew it. It probably just meant that I might have to do things differently to other people. I certainly wouldn't have felt that my world was crashing down, because after passing 9 exams, 8 at A stars, to get 1 grade B was not the end of the world, or at least that's the way I thought about it. And to be honest, I still do. I'm perfectly happy for anybody to give me a different opinion. And I fully understand that for that person, that it was really important to them. And it could be for their friends group, or that everybody always got A stars. It may be that in their family, everybody always got A stars. I know that. I'm not insensitive to that. But negativity bias means that rather than saying, actually, of the 9 exams, you've already got 8 A stars. Let's celebrate those A stars. Well done for that. And don't worry, we'll make sure that between us, we all come together and we support you enough so that you can get that other A star that you need. So negativity bias stifles you, and it cuts you off from the support mechanisms that surround you. My younger self, the one that spectacularly failed her GCSEs, she knew that her world was not over. She knew that, yes, she'd mucked up, but she wasn't prepared to let it define her, even though all the adults were telling her what a mess she'd made of her life and how she had failed everybody, how she had now ruined everything forever. And it was tough for a while. But no, it did not ruin everything forever. In fact, I did get all of my exams eventually. And then I moved on to advanced level exams. And then I went on to university and got a degree. And I've been able to live a rich and moderately successful life by my own standards. I was assured back then that due to my failings, I'd never be able to get a good job or provide for myself or my family, or make any kind of relevant contribution to society, that I simply wasn't going to amount to anything. Wow, what a load to lay on a 15-year-old. And yet, their opinion proved to be wrong. And that's in some ways because I didn't buy into that negativity bias. I took everything they were saying on board, but I didn't want it to define me. I felt it was too soon to be written off. And I'm not saying this out of any ego or to criticise those people. You know, they were around me and they could clearly see that I was now facing some pretty big hurdles. But perhaps I could just see something that they didn't. That there was more opportunity than not, and with the right encouragement and hopefulness, well, I would be fine. In fact, more than fine. And I remember going back to see my teachers, actually, visiting the staff room when I'd been awarded my honours degree from Exeter University. I remember turning up at the staff room door with this rolled up certificate in my hand. I was so proud, and I knocked on the door, and the door opened, and many of the teachers that had taught me were still there. And most of my teachers were completely thrilled. But then there was this one teacher that seemed angry that I had done so well. And they actually mentioned that someone that failed so many exams ought not to have been given a degree. Ooh, how peculiar. Yet of all the comments from the staff room that day, do you know, over, what, 40 years later? That's the one I remember. That's the one I can still recite verbatim. That's the negativity bias. It's just as well I took absolutely no notice of their limiting beliefs back then, because that would have constructed something around me, pushed something onto me to diminish me. And then perhaps I would have set out to make sure that I was the academic disaster area that they were predicting I would always be. So we want to not become victimised by any negativity biases that create a construct around us that then reprogram us, our minds, our energy fields, because we don't want it to deliver more of the same. If I'd bought into the biases of, say, some of the teachers, I don't think I'd be where I am today. I didn't try harder in order to prove them wrong. I'm not made up that way. That's really not who I am. And I'm certainly not saying this in order to criticise my teachers. I hope it's not coming across that way. I just tried harder, worked smarter to see if I could do better. That's all. So the first step in overcoming the self-sabotaging effects of negativity biases is to recognise their presence, right? These biases in your past. What do you still go back to now that's a negativity bias that was picked up in the past that for some reason you started to believe in? Well, you don't have to believe in that negativity bias anymore. Understand how negativity bias is insidious and how it operates in your life, and also how you can be perpetuating a negativity bias and then feeding it into other people. By becoming aware of the ways in which negativity biases influence our thoughts and our emotions and our behaviours, we can begin to challenge them and to change the patterns that they create and to nip them right in the bud for ourselves and other people. Oh, what a gift to give somebody you care about. Just so that these biases don't turn into something that is bigger than it ought to be, more important, you know, having a place that's more important than it deserves to have. And it stops you, these biases, from reaching your true potential. And we don't want that.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Focusing on negative thoughts longer term will begin to distort your energy field. It begins to reform itself, you see. The energy field reforms itself to bring you more evidence, more examples, more experiences, more connection to whatever those negative biases are. Your energy field forms the filters and templates, you see, that then affects all aspects of your incarnation experience here on the planet. Nobody wants them constructing what you don't want to experience. And to prevent this from happening, it's important to recognize the negative thoughts, catch them early, flip them to something more hopeful and positive instead, Hope and positivity then springboard you out of the negativity bias, and your energy filters and templates will then restructure and reformat your energy fields in order to create those hopeful and positive things instead. So let's reframe and restructure the constructs as they attempt to form around us. This process involves identifying, maybe challenging, even altering negative thought patterns. In other words, by being open to questioning negative beliefs and considering alternatives as well, you create more open, more balanced opportunities, more perspective. You can develop a healthier approach, a healthier mindset overall. And that healthier mindset then enables your energy fields to construct more of that healthier framework. And then you experience more of the positive bias than the negative bias. Begin with a thought diary. Write down any negative thoughts that arise during the day, and then examine the evidence to support those thoughts. Ask yourself questions like, is this thought based on facts or assumptions? Are there alternative explanations or points of view that perhaps I hadn't considered? And what would I say to my best friend if they were in the situation that I am in? And by systematically challenging your negative thoughts, you can replace them with more realistic and constructive ones. Or at very least, you can prevent yourself from spiraling into only those low vibrational rabbit holes. I'm a therapist. I'm a successful therapist, actually. Very successful at what I do. I'm very confident in how I serve people, and I always do my best. And for the aspects of what I have learnt, I know that I know my stuff. Now, what if a client cancelled a session that we had booked? Negativity bias could flood in and say, I wasn't any good at my job, and that's why they cancelled. Perhaps they cancelled because they found out that when I was 15, I failed all my exams. And even though I can consistently demonstrate the things that I have achieved over and above that initial failure, perhaps they cancelled because they found out about that. Perhaps they found a better therapist than me. Maybe they felt I was too expensive for the service I offered, or maybe someone had said something that affected my reputation, you know? I could really start to spiral. And I wouldn't like to think it was any one of those. The negative bias always seems to kick in and take you into this long grass, doesn't it? You know, maybe it was because they were going on a fabulous, unexpected holiday and they wouldn't be around for the session after all on the date we originally planned it. Maybe the session we had already had got to the root of their issue and now they were blissfully released and didn't need my help anymore. Positive reframing involves shifting your focus from the negative aspects of a situation to its potential positive elements. This doesn't mean ignoring problems or realities or reflecting to see if there is something that perhaps you could have done better. But it's much more about recognizing and appreciating the potential that you may have not been focusing on too. By intentionally seeking out positives, you can change your perspective and you can reduce the impact of any negativity bias that is naturally going to be there. I think it would be a challenge to get rid of all negativity bias, and actually in some instances it can serve us. I've already said that. Seeking out the positives, though, brings the biases into balance and harmony. Incorporating mindfulness practices generally, I think, into your daily routines can help you become more aware of your thoughts and emotions, and it allows you to observe them without judgment. At least that's my experience of them. And mindfulness helps you to stay present and reduce the automatic reactions driven by negativity bias, especially the negativity bias that you might have accumulated from the past. Mindfulness can enable you to have that 360-degree perspective rather than just a very fixated focus. Try it. This will reduce your stress levels, it will improve your emotions, it will increase your overall well-being, and it will reformat and restructure your energy field. Keeping a gratitude journal, that's also a powerful way to shift your focus from only the negative to also include positive aspects of your life. Every day, even if you don't write it down, at the beginning of the day, write down three things you're grateful for. Think of three things you are grateful for. These can be really simple pleasures. They don't have to be massive personal achievements. It can be something as simple as an act of kindness from others towards you. It could be that you are really looking forward to a healthy smoothie that day. And each day at the end of the day, reflect on your day and then focus on three things from your day that you have been grateful for that perhaps you weren't expecting. Regularly reflecting on positive aspects of your life helps to counteract negativity bias by retraining your mind to notice and appreciate the good first. This then programs your energy fields to align you to the good first. And by consistently focusing on gratitude, you're going to cultivate a more positive and balanced perspective, and your energy field restructures to form the templates to bring you more things to be grateful for. You could have a chat with someone you trust too, so that they will give you support and provide value perspective. I have people in my life where I will contact them and I will say, "This has happened. Can we brainstorm a bit? Can we get a 360-degree perspective on this? Just in case there is something that I might have overlooked that I might be missing." They can be a really valuable sounding board when you may be faced with a little bit of a negative thinking pattern that could be creeping in. And I'd talk to them about your experiences. That allows you to also gain insights from others and feel less isolated if you have any struggles. And in return, you can offer them that you will be a sounding board for them if that's what they may need. And you can ask them to be honest with you and to help reflect back any positives that you are missing if you're somebody who seems at the moment to be caught up with the negativity biases. I mean, obviously, this needs to be a trusted individual, someone who's empathetic, someone who's encouraging, someone who's going to be kind as they feed back alternative viewpoints. But they're also going to help you to gain clarity on when perhaps goals are ambitious, when goals are vague, when comments are well-grounded, when comments are perhaps not truthful. You know, when I was at school, failing spectacularly, the voices around me were all telling me my ambition was misplaced. My belief in myself was misplaced. I was surrounded by the wrong voices. I needed voices around me to help break those larger goals into smaller, manageable steps, to show me how to do that so that I didn't feel that I wouldn't be capable of my ambitious dreams. And each small success would build momentum and reinforce my sense of capability. And there's nothing worse, I think, than other people's own negativity bias undermining your belief in your own capability and potential. Celebrate every single achievement along the way. Stay motivated and positive. Surround yourself with people that have unshakable faith in your potential. Even if there's no evidence yet that their unshakable faith in you is justified. And when you fail, And those that take on new, fresh challenges are very likely to face some level of failure at some point or other. When you fail, please don't give up. Failure simply means that you haven't achieved success yet. See an inevitability in the fact that you will succeed. It's only a matter of time, and you'll be successful, and your survival will be assured. Instead of viewing mistakes as reflection of your worth or your abilities, just see the mistakes as valuable feedback. All failure does is show you how something doesn't work. It's the process that failed, not you. This mindset shift fosters resilience and growth-orientated approaches to all sorts of life challenges. There's no shortage of sources of negative bias. It's everywhere. So you need to develop a way to be conscious of these biases, to sort of spot them and deflect them, not let them undermine your healthy energy boundaries, the ones that you already have in place. To the media, for example, this is a very easy starting point. It's often tilted towards negative bias, and it will constantly expose you to negative news and points of view that can reinforce all sorts of negative thinking patterns, and it will increase your stress and your anxiety level. And it will give you ideas of things to make you feel your survival is in jeopardy. So I decided to practice what I preach, and I actually switched off my TV in late February this year. I don't consume that type of media anymore, as it was beginning to feel so overwhelming all the time for me. And I really wasn't thriving with all that additional worry and stress. I'm very selective about social media, and I'd suggest you audit your social media regularly as well. If you're likely to be formed in the image of the people that you spend your time around the most, the energy from them that you are consuming will be forming. So what form are you taking? I have this game. I love to see what matches the algorithms on Netflix or YouTube bring me. And as soon as there is too much negative bias coming my way, I deliberately choose to watch, to consume different information and observe the algorithms changing. Now, of course, you can't entirely stick your head in the sand. Instead, just limit your consumption of anything that could be negative content. Set very clear boundaries on news and social media and conversations that you will allow. Seek out positive and uplifting content that is inspiring and motivating for you. And do the same in your relationships. Follow accounts and media sources that share constructive and encouraging messages for these times. Find yourself a tribe of people to spend your time in that will also be constructive and encouraging of all of you and each one of you individually. So I hope this deep dive today into negative bias really helps bring into the forefront of your awareness some of the things that will really enable you in order to be more selective and get a 360 degree view of your world and the world of those around you. Use this more conscious awareness to navigate real life events more positively. Allow them to become positively biased in your favour. The improvements will come as your energy field reframes itself and restructures and changes in support of greater well-being. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing and it's magical and it's mysterious. And there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.